Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
The following program is brought to you by the Preferred Home Team. Content is provided for general information only and should not be treated as a substitute for professional advice from your legal or real estate advisors. Welcome to the Real Estate Radio Hour, a forum of ideas, plans, and expert advice on all things real estate. Andy Prasky with RE/MAX Advantage Plus was named Super Agent by Minneapolis St. Paul Magazine. Chris Rooney of RE/MAX Preferred is a Lakeshore and Luxury Home Specialist. Together, they cover the Twin Cities. This combined dynamic duo has sold over 2,000 homes, ranked in the top 1% nationwide, top 10 in the state of Minnesota, and still have time to get together every Saturday to talk about real estate. Here's Abby Prasky and Chris Rooney, Denny Long, and the Real Estate Radio Hour.
Yes, we're back at it another Saturday when we talk real estate, always welcoming your phone calls and text messages related to real estate. In fact, before we say, I can't say hi to Chris because he's not here.
He's not.
But Andy's here.
Well, thank you.
And no, thank you. This would be a lot of silence if you guys weren't here this hour. I was going to give the phone number and the text number.
Go ahead.
Before we say hi. 651-989-9226 for your real estate related questions, or send a text, and that's 81807. Well, Andy's here.
Yeah.
Chris is taking the, I know he's seeing his son.
He is over in Denmark. It sounds like a real exciting trip so far. They've had a lot of, you know, following him on Facebook. It's kind of fun.
Oh, I haven't seen that, but I'm sure they're having a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Enough said.
Enough, yeah. Well, where is Rooney not having fun?
You know,
the guy, he brings it with him. So
that's true.
But yeah, so we were thinking, hey, you know, we're talking real estate. So we thought one of the guys that we've had on the show before, Jeff Schultz with RE/MAX Advantage Plus, out of the Waconia market. And we brought Jeff back in to co-host with us today. And good morning, Jeff. Thanks for coming in.
Hey, good morning, Danny and Andy. I'm glad to be here. But I thought we were talking about Twins baseball, not real estate. So,
well, we could do both if you wanted to. But, you know, that the Waconia area is a great area.
It's
that
fantastic.
It really is in the – I like that.
Well, yeah, what's so good about it?
No, what do you mean now?
How much time do I have? Let's see. We're 30 miles from here. Waconia, obviously our big attraction out there is Lake Waconia. We are the second largest lake in the metro area. Mm. And so it's 45 minutes into downtown. We've got a thriving community, great hospital, great schools, three wineries, a distillery, a brewery.
That's going to be one of the best ratios in the state for wineries to people.
Yes. It's fantastic. And I know, Denny, you've been out there quite a bit.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't realize they had that kind of stuff going on there.
Yeah, a couple more miles down the road.
Yeah,
it's
some
great.
Good food too, I think.
Some great food. We got some great restaurants out there. Town team baseball, great golf. We've got it all. Some great festivals.
More importantly, since we're on a real estate show, how's the real estate market out that way?
Well, Andy, it's right now it's full on. So our spring market got going a little bit later this year with the slow spring start, but you know, in the last 3 to 4 weeks, it's really popped. Sellers drug their feet a little bit to get their homes on the market. You know, a lot of that activity seems to usually get going late February and March, and this year it just seemed like a lot of the sellers drug their feet to list. With that now, you know, with the full bloom and the ice off the lake, it's go time. It's lakeshore season, and sellers are active getting their homes on the market, and the activity's really picked up here now the last 3-4 weeks.
You know, and you and I both gauge this when we watch, like, the amount of showings that we're getting on the listings that are out there, and it just has, Denny. I mean, the traffic has really increased. I mean, it was for a little while kind of slow. You're almost thinking, are we going to head into a slower market? But I think what happened is when the rates got adjusted, which, by the way, mortgage rates again this week adjusted down, which means lower payments on the same house, or it gives you more buying power. So some of those buyers that were, you know, frustrated, and we actually brought a specialist in to talk about this, the buyers that were struggling in that first-time homebuyer category, this, when rates go down, this allows them to spend a little bit more for the same payment, which is nice because then they can – it brings more opportunities their way. And that's something that we're going to talk about a little later in the show. So,
okay. Again, here's the phone number, 651-989-9226 for your real estate questions. Again, the text number, if that's easier, is 81807. We talk real estate this hour every Saturday here on News Talk 830 WCCO. What else are we going to talk about?
Well, you know, Jeff, you guys out in Waconia, I know you guys have quite a variety of stuff going on in the West Metro, and obviously the market's hot, but what are the really for trending? So people listening, they're thinking about listing their houses, and I mean, what are important things to think about right now that you're seeing that maybe is different from last year that people have heard before on the show?
Well, curb appeal is always important, but the common thing I get when I visit with home sellers, they often talk about, you know, I'm not going to do this paint, or I'm not going to touch this up, I'm not going to replace this or fix this. I'm going to let the buyer, you know, choose their own selections. And I, for the vast majority of sellers, I think that's a bad idea. You know, buyers, they want to come in and they don't have the time or the resources to always make those improvements. So I think having something turnkey and ready to go is really key.
In all price ranges?
Yes, all price ranges. Even that, you know, that the first-time home buyer to the move-up buyer to even the lakeshore buyer to, your downsizing couple going from the bigger two-story to all main floor living. They don't want to take on a project. They want to come in and have that thing.
Well, and I think, too, you know, I think my experience with that is very reflective of what you've just said. And I feel that there's also the perspective that they want it done, even if it's the wrong color or whatever, they still want it done. And they may come in, but they don't have to do it right away.
Exactly.
So they may say, oh, don't you hate this color? We're going to repaint it in a year. So they still get to move in and take the pressure off of feeling the need to want to remodel immediately. And it just makes the transaction smoother, easier, you know.
Absolutely, it does. You know, there's been so many times I've showing a house with a client, and the sellers have had, you know, some odd colors in there, or some older flooring, and they finally go make that change, and boom, within a week, the house sells.
You know? Yeah, exactly. So what are you seeing out there with, are you guys seeing multiple offers in all price ranges? Are you seeing a little slower than that, or what's happening out there?
The market we're at in that Waconia and the surrounding communities, under 350, very hot, under 400, very hot. That would be, you know, your first-time home buyer homes. The real active market is still that main floor living, people downsizing. So the one level townhomes to the Ramblers, that market's really good. And it's lake season. So lakeshore, something offering access to the lake or directly on the lake.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've, since the ice went out, you know, there's been a few listings that have come up. So we are seeing multiple offers. You know, if it's priced right, show's good, and it's under 350. It's, you know, not uncommon.
What about on water? Are you guys seeing that on the lake? What are price ranges? I'm just curious because I've never actually shopped that market. I'm sure listeners are too. So if I want to live on the lake in that great community, what kind of price range can I expect to invest?
Well, Waconia differs a lot from the other surrounding smaller lakes. The big demand, you know, the pricing on Waconia is much different. So, you know, we have lots on Waconia that, you know, $700,000, $800,000, $900,000 lots.
Mm-hmm.
You can still buy an existing home, though, you know, built in the 60s, 70s, 50s. For, you know, under $1 million. And if you get on one of the smaller side lakes, then there's still some inventory that runs, you know, from 600 to a million.
That's kind of almost metro pricing out there on the lake.
That's
yeah, because I mean, I think people are realizing how close that community is. I think that there's not that big of a, you know, when you get to Eden Prairie, it's just another, 10 minutes, 15 minutes down the road?
15 minutes down the road, you bet.
Yeah, so a lot of people are saying, hey, what do I get for that extra drive? You know, is it, you know, schools or student-teacher ratio is better? Are the, you know, just less traffic or whatever they're looking for?
Small town feel. We've got, you know, just a lot of amenities out there. And, you know, you get yourself on one of those smaller lakes, definitely, you know, less traffic, more, you know, low-key.
Exactly.
What about the school system? That you touched on that a little bit. What are the comments about the school system there?
Well, the schools are fantastic. We've grown a lot of programs, whether it be that hockey to lacrosse to, you know, so the sports are fantastic, but the school has definitely made a recognition on our just excellent quality of school.
You've got a couple little munchkins out there, don't you?
Yeah, I do, Andy. I've got twins, Grady and Ellie, who are 7.
Wow. Well, hi, guys. Out in Waconia, probably having a nice day. Hopefully it's a little sunnier out there than it is downtown. My goodness, it's pretty gloomy down here, but that's cool. Well, you know, Jeff, with your years of experience, not only I just kind of a quick little what an overachiever this guy is and solid, you know, guy, he's also a pilot. There's been a few times where we've had the experience of having Jeff in the front of the plane and us in the back, which we giggle at because we're like, you know, obviously he's a good pilot because we made it every time we've been with him, but it's kind of a fun thing. And then you guys are really just, you've got a great reputation on that market. That's why we bring you guys back in here, is because you're solid business. You support the community, and it's great to see.
Well, thank you very much, Andy. We love Waconia and the surrounding communities. We're passionate about it. You know, we love when people come out there. Usually what ends up happening, they come out to visit a friend or a family for one of our events out there, whether that be Nickel Dickle Day, 4th of July fireworks or something.
Nickel what?
Nickel Dickle Day.
Really? Okay.
You've never heard that before.
No.
Denny, you been out for it?
No. Well, wait a minute. No, I have not. No,
well, we'll get you out there. We'll get you out there.
With our friend, newly retired Jim Gilbert.
That's right.
Talked about that a lot, as a matter of fact.
Yeah. So they usually end up coming out and visit, fall in love with Waconia, and we love working with those folks, showing them around the lake, the community, and what it all has to offer. So it's fantastic.
I'll tell you what, let's take a break. We have more show to come. If you have a real estate question, call it in or text it in, 651-989-9226. Text number is 81807. Good morning. Welcome back to the Real Estate Show here on CCO. If you have that kind of a question, 651-989-9226. Text is 81807. If you're just joining us, Chris is, he'll be back next week.
Yeah.
But he's taken the few days off to see. He's in Europe.
Yeah, over in Denmark. Yeah, so
visiting his football-playing son.
Yep.
Not bad.
I guess they're doing really well, too.
Are they?
Yeah. It's interesting, though, that they have to announce it as American football when they're selling the seats or whatever.
Well, of course.
Obviously the soccer and
football.
It's football, yeah.
All right. If you're just joining us, when we're coming back here during the break, we want to talk about first-time home buyers.
Okay.
And who did you bring with you today?
Well, we've got Jeff Schultz, and then Jeff invited along Laura Falk. And Laura is a agent out in the same kind of West Metro kind of area?
Yes. Yep, that's correct.
And you like to work with first-time home buyers, and our big question is why?
No. Yes.
What's wrong with you, right?
I love the opportunity for coaching and educating there. They're eager to learn, and they need a guiding hand. And I just love, you know, bringing that knowledge, you know, to them and just letting them feel really comfortable and confident you know, with the process as we get started.
They do say that, Jeff. Jeff and I go to tons of seminars, and they talk about how the real estate agents that are successful in today's market take the role of a teacher, and instead of being a salesperson. And it's, you know, educating the consumer and making sure they're aware of all the options so they can make a decision that's good for them, I think is great strategy.
Absolutely. Yep. They want to not feel lost in the process. They just, you know, want to be able to understand, you know, why is this happening, or what are we waiting for? What are we doing? And I love that communication piece and just being able to be helpful there.
Interesting. So, you know, I'm a listener out there, and this is me always thinking like a listing agent, and I'm thinking of listing my house, and I know that my house is going to fall into that first time home buyer kind of category, which by definition, Jeff, Laura, what do you guys think is first time home buyer nowadays? What would you categorize it as?
Yeah, literally first time home, first time to, you know, home ownership. And then, you know, price point out our way is typically, you know, up to 300, 350, just like Jeff had mentioned.
And maybe an age group of about what, Laura?
You know, up to 35. I think National Association of Realtors from 2018 said average was 32.
Okay.
Really? Yeah. Yeah, but you know what's funny is I had a customer a couple weeks ago where she actually was up on the lake and she was in an RV trailer thing or whatever, moved back to the cities to get closer to the kids, and she was a first-time home buyer. So, you know, there were some cool programs available over in St. Paul that we took advantage of, and she was not in her 30s.
Right.
She looked like it, but she was probably in her 60s. But
and that leads me to think, Andy, there's, you know, the old myth out there that a lot of people think that you have to have 20% down in order to be a home buyer. Laura, can you touch on that a little bit?
Yeah, I get that question a few times a year. You know, if I don't have 20% down, is this even an option for me? You know, I don't think I can do it. And that's surprising. There are programs in certain areas that are 0% down. Great first time home buyer programs, or you can do as little as 3% down, 3.5% down. So there's lots of financing options that people are not aware of, I find.
Huh, that's really interesting. And so with the different kinds of financing that are available out there, you know, like, you know, you obviously have your FHA where it's like 3.5% down, but you guys even have some rural stuff that I believe is zero.
Yeah.
Correct?
Yep. So that 0% down is called rural development, and the area has to qualify for that. You can actually plug in the physical address for the property and find out if it would qualify for buyer financing of rural development. So that's a great, great program for people, especially first-time homebuyers.
Yeah, a little farther drive maybe for somebody that, that you know, if they work in Eden Prairie or the, you know, south west corner of the cities. But what a cool way to get into a house.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah, and Waconia is in that area.
Yeah, yep.
So what when you guys are out there and you're actually looking at first-time house, you know, kind of buyers, what are they really looking for specifically? I mean, because obviously you educate them, you spend some time understanding the financing, but when they're walking through these houses, what is there a checklist that they're looking for? Or what are what are we?
Typically, what I find is they're looking for something that's fairly move-in ready, clean, neutral colors. I've been finding, you know, built within the last 20 years, they might not want the maintenance of, you know, 100-year-old home. Open concept is still a big thing I hear a lot. We want that open kitchen to the dining room for entertaining or, you know, having the kids in the next room over where you can still see them. So just, yeah, low maintenance, not too many upgrades. You know, if you're a seller and you're thinking, you know, what should I do here? We're listing. Do I do the full kitchen remodel? And, you know, keeping those upgrades to a minimum as it pushes that budget.
I was just going to say, so we, because this is a conversation I think almost every week people call into the show. They ask, hey, we're going to remodel this part of the house. Should we do it? This is the expense we're looking at. And so if I'm listening, you're basically saying update without overinvesting for the marketplace.
Correct. Yep. When I'm talking with sellers that I work with, I say, you know, on the listing side, do those recommendations that the stager provided of a paint refresh with neutral colors, maybe updating light fixtures, hardware, more of the low cost items that'll really just, you know, appeal to all buyers, not just first time home buyers. And then it's pretty inexpensive too. So it just freshens it up and, you know, again, makes it just appealing to a wide demographic.
So what do you think the average first-time buyer, are they looking for the three-bedroom, two-bath, or can they buy a two-bedroom? You know, I mean, those are the, because one of our best questions we get, Jeff, and I mean, you do too, on list, should I finish the basement and add that extra bedroom and bathroom? Right. And it depends on the, we always say it depends.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, so do they want that space, or do they seem to want to build that equity themselves?
A lot of the times they do want to build that equity if they don't need it. If there's already two or three bedrooms on the main, and this is their, you know, first house they're getting into, that's typically fine, and they, you know, they would rather down the road when they someday sell, you know, put the time and money into that project.
So cute, clean, affordable.
Yes.
And let them have some blue sky.
Yes.
Right? They can make some money too. What do you think, Jeff? So when you guys, as a listing agent out in that marketplace, when first-time buyers are coming in, are they looking for anything unusual? I mean, I'm not trying to – there's not a conspiracy there. Obviously, first-time, you know, buyers are not different. It's just that a lot of times I think the word limitations. They have limitations with their budgets or limitations with how far they want to drive or whatever. What are you seeing out there? I mean,
other areas, you know, areas that they like to entertain, whether that be a patio or a deck or an area in the house that they like to entertain. You know, that comes up often, you know. We like to entertain. We like to entertain. So as a seller, you think about that time frame of the formal dining, you know, that's not real popular anymore.
Yeah.
So
that's interesting, huh? So another hangout area, because that's like with split entries, a lot of times you build a two-bedroom, one-bath split with a two-car garage, and there's a family room upstairs. And if it's a younger single guy, he'll say, hey, I want to rent out the bedroom or the basement, right? Mm-hmm. And so having that – and then they realize real fast that they don't like the same TV shows and they have different sleeping schedules. So having that separate hangout area a lot of times with that first-time buyer might be beneficial. You know, if the rentals are allowed in that area, it's a great way to make a first-time home buyer even more stable in that property. So, that's awesome.
I would imagine decluttering, if you're looking to sell, is still – I mean, you guys talk about that all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah, Laura, you can maybe touch base on some –
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, so, you know, when we work with sellers, too, we recommend we do a staging consult with that, and they touch on decluttering, and they make some recommendations as well. And that's the – decluttering is the biggest one. We want minimalist, you know – it feels stark. I know sometimes sellers are like, oh, man, you know, is this appealing to anybody? And, you know, less is more. You want people to be able to envision their, you know, family, their furniture, their, you know, decor style in the space. So really heavy or extra furniture pieces or, you know, collections or family photos are things we recommend that they, you know, pull back on so that you can envision.
So, you know, when we come back, maybe we can talk about the inevitable, the family getting involved with the first-time homebuyer.
Yeah.
Mom and dad, are they, you know, helping or whatever else? And maybe when we come back, we can talk a little bit about that.
Let's do that. Yeah. We'll take this break. We have another half hour of the show to go. So if you have a question related to real estate, by all means, call it in. 651-989-9226. Text number, meanwhile, 81807. Good Saturday morning to you. Welcome back to more Real Estate Talk here on CCO. Chris is off today, but Andy Prasky is still in. And you have, for those just joining us, you brought some special guests.
I sure did. I've got Jeff Schultz from the Jeff Schultz team out of Waconia, RE/MAX Advantage Plus, and Laura Folk is along with. You guys, obviously, we talked a little earlier in the show about what's happening out in the West Metro, but we started talking about first-time homebuyers. Laura, that's one of her favorites, is educating first-time homebuyers and spending time with them. But the big thing that we all, assuming that it's usually a younger buyer, will have the guidance of a loving parent. And yes. And let's talk about that just a little bit. I mean, that's kind of the elephant in the room sometimes when we're selling houses, is that we think we have a solid deal until the inspection and dad comes along and does what?
Oh, yeah. The furnace, the water heater, the roof.
I'm a dad. I'm protective, too. I'd protect my little girl and my son. I mean, you know, so I think about those things as well. And so maybe we should just brush a little bit on the fact that that's a reality. There's a buyer, but there's also a buyer behind the buyer.
Yes.
Okay. So how do we handle that?
Well, go ahead, Laura.
Yeah. So when I've been in that situation where the buyer is feeling really stressed out. They were excited about something. Really excited. They had the inspection. They were okay with the inspection. You know, they took it to a parent and said, you know, I don't know. I think it was great. And then it was, oh, this is awful. You know, this is not good. This isn't something you should buy. And they're in tears almost calling you going, well, I don't know if I should do this anymore. You know, and so on that end, you know, it's counseling them and saying, yeah, you know, yes, these are valid, you know, concerns. Let's talk through it. You know, do you still like the house? If you're excited about it, let's see what we can do. On the listing side, you know, if there are big concerns as far as, you know, the roof is bad, the windows are shot, there are some safety concerns that are glaring. A lot of those first-time homebuyers are obtaining government financing where those issues will arise at some point in the transaction and have to be dealt with. So, you know, if that's something that we can tackle prior, you know, to listing, that's definitely helpful for both sides, you know, in ensuring a smoother transaction.
Yeah. For sure.
Addressing a lot of those big ticket items before you put it on the market, counseling sellers, it's going to open up the door to several different age groups and, you know, to.
Exactly.
Well, you know, and you think about that, too, as somebody else that's guiding behind the scenes. I mean, one of the proactive ways we've done this in the past as a listing agent is you make sure that the big items, the windows, the roof, the furnace, you know, carpet, they overlook, wood floors, they can be fixed, paint, they can usually have redone. I've also had people calling out garage doors, driveways, you know, things that look like, and so you get into that bucket and then you have this diminished return where, you know, hey, my house is only going to sell for $250 and I don't want to stick $30,000 into to sell it for $250.
Yeah.
So then you start looking at the marketplace and you say, okay, am I really ready to sell or not? And I think that's the key that a lot of people, they're close, but deferred maintenance, man, it's amazing how fast deferred maintenance can destroy a house.
Yeah.
Most definitely.
Yeah. So, but anyway, so kind of getting back to the mom, the dad thing, you know, how many of those folks have a cosigner or that mom or dad helping purchase the house with a deposit?
Yeah, definitely. I've had, you know, names on purchase agreements there just to help, you know, son or daughter out and to make it you know, possible for them to get into their first home.
Do you see multi-generational needs in that price range too?
Not as much in our area.
I've actually, you know, guys, I've seen this quite a bit now, at least in the spring market, well, and even last fall, where we're building even new houses where mom or dad is involved, and mom or dad is giving the extra $100,000 for the deposit so the basement can be finished, or they can put a main-level bedroom on the house so that it's functional for literally everybody in the family.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you what, I've had some experience recently looking at these assisted livings and nursing homes where I've had friends and colleagues of mine going to live. And it people go broke fast. Absolutely. And it's one of those things where maybe mom, you can have her living with you for 5 years instead of, you know, it could save your family substantial investment.
Yeah.
You know, so.
We're talking about, among other things, first-time home buyers. But I want to jump in with a couple of text messages that you can reply to if you respond to if you like. With the recent tax changes, am I better off renting or buying?
It's a great question. You know, I guess when it comes down to the tax laws that are out there, they've got the one-time deduction. So actually it makes it fair for everybody in a weird way. It gave a kind of an advantage to the renting market depends on how you want to look at it. But in essence, there's always still the deduction of your mortgage interest. So if you're an earner and you're earning more than the average or you're earning even average wages, it's really a nice way to take some of the burden off the tax bill at the end of the year. A lot of people, I think that's the reason why a lot of young buyers buy You know, what do you think, Jeff?
Yeah, I would agree with that. That's, you know, one of the first things that when we visit with buyers is say, what are the advantages of home ownership? And it's still brought up all the time.
So not only do you ride the appreciation train, if there is such a thing like we have, the last, you know, several years have been very healthy returns on just appreciation. And then you also have the tax deduction. So there's times where people ask me, and maybe, Laura, you can comment on this. People say, well, I just can't afford it. I'm going to try to save. And we know the equations against them because, you know, if percentage of interest goes up, houses appreciate, and then you can't save as fast as those other things are going up, it kind of leaves the person in the same spot in a couple years.
Right.
Yeah. You have a lot of people that say, you know, I think I'll just rent. That seems, you know, cheaper, and it's not. I mean, a lot of the times when I work with a renter, you know, previous renter that is buying their first house, you know, month or two down the road, they'll contact me and say, oh, my gosh, I'm saving so much. I guess I didn't realize, you know, this is such a great idea. I'm glad, you know.
What do you do if you meet the client that actually doesn't have the perfect credit? You know, that first-time buyer that wants to buy the house. How do you guide somebody like that?
Yeah, I think it's working, having a good referral base for great lenders who can just counsel them. You know, what do we need to do here to get you in a comfortable position? Looking at that debt-to-income ratio, coming up with a plan. So, you know, having those great lenders, you can refer them, you know, to and have those conversations.
Sure. And I think a lot of those lenders too will guide the buyers that don't have credit yet. Like they're,
correct,
you know, they're right out of college. They, you know, the reason why they have a 580 is because they just haven't have any recorded credit. You know,
right.
I mean, it's
exactly.
Like, it's not because it's bad. It's just, they don't have any.
Right.
So, but that's an interesting plan. So we also brought in Denny, another surprise.
Yeah.
We brought in Ben Smothers, and Ben is also out in the Waconia market with Advantage Plus, Remax Advantage Plus. Now, you're kind of you pride yourself, or you hang your hat on being an acreage guy. You can find the deals, you can find the hunting land, you can find the hobby farm, or what's the real story?
Yeah, good morning. In the last couple of years, I've been fortunate enough to work with many different buyers that are searching that small acreage hobby farm lifestyle. We're being in Waconia, we're right on the edge of the metro area, and a lot of farmland out there, woods, river, lakes. So people like that idea of raising their family on some acreage, some privacy, the ability to kind of do different things. And
like, what are they doing out there? I mean, is it you know, horses? Is it four-wheelers? Is it hunting land? What are people looking for?
Yeah, a lot of it is hobby farms with animals, chickens. That's kind of a popular request nowadays to have the land that they can go hunt on, go build tree forts for the kids. And
garden, pole sheds to storage.
Yeah, that's one of the things, too, with the outbuildings. You know, everybody's got the toys, the boats, the snowmobiles, that they like that space to be able to use them, and they need the building to store them in. So that's a lot of our buyers are looking for that style of property.
Okay, so with an accessory building, I mean, what is – and maybe, Jeff, you can jump on this topic, too. When we get into having those – accessory buildings, let's say I want to run a little cabinet shop, or I want to run a little you know, hobby shop, make something I can sell at the craft fairs or whatever. Are we allowed to do that out in your neck of the woods, or is that no-no?
Well, there again, I mean, that's for the most part a no-no if you're running a business out of it. It depends where it's at, if you're you know, getting a special, you know, use permit or something or other. But you know, I would say the vast majority of our clients, Ben, and you can jump in here or there, what they're seeking is not necessarily to run a business out of it, is really that freedom, spread their wings, play, store stuff, garden. You know.
Not the auto body shop that
has car parts
all over their yard.
Right.
Yeah, the neat thing about where we're located is that you can be out in the country but still be close enough in proximity to all the amenities that Waconia has to offer, and most of Carver County too. So the ability for them to have a nice commute but still come home and be on some acreage is very appealing to a lot of people.
Yeah, so what, okay, me, the money guy, right? What are we seeing for prices out there? So if I'm a first-time buyer and I want to go out there, can I find a place for $250,
$300? Not likely, no.
Okay, how about $350?
Getting closer, yeah, it's going to be smaller acreage, maybe an older home that needs some maintenance eventually down the road.
What about buying a raw piece of land and then I'm going to build it in the future?
Yeah, there's definitely opportunities in that price range, but when you buy the land for say $200, then you got to build a $400,000, $500,000 home. That's where a lot of the newer construction prices are coming in right now. So you're getting to
so you might want to strategize a little bit before you head out there and buy that $200,000 lot, because you may not want to have a $600,000 investment. So, but the existing market, you could find them something nice for $350 to $550.
Oh yeah, for sure. There's I mean, that's where a lot of the opportunities lie, within that $400 to $600 price point.
Tell you what, we're talking, among other things, about a first-time home buyer. We're not limiting our questions and answers about that. But let's go to the phones. I think Delreen in Minneapolis has one for us all. Go ahead, Delreen.
Yes. I have a mortgage-free home with my husband, and he's passed away. So what do I need in order to put my house on the market other than a death certificate?
Well, have you settled the estate?
Not yet.
Okay, so usually what you want to do is make sure to talk to a family attorney that will actually allow you to settle out the estate, make sure that everything's being done properly so that you can have a clear conscience moving forward with selling assets or buying new assets, because you may want something different. So yeah, that's where I would start, and then go from there.
Or I would say is get in touch with, one of your local real estate professionals and start that process early. I think the seller that reaches out to an agent and just discusses staging, kind of the topics that we talked about earlier, what can I do to prep my home so that it's, show ready? If some of those projects are going to take 2, 3, 4 months.
Right. Well, and Jeff, too, this is an interesting – we talked about this morning. We went to breakfast early, Denny. Mm-hmm. We forgot to invite you. Sorry about that.
That's all right. I had stuff to do.
used to it, right? And we were talking about that. We were saying, well, so, hey, is this where I call one of these companies that will buy my house for me and I don't have to deal with it? And I don't think so. I mean, we talked about this where in today's market, right, it's so good, you don't have to sell your house at a wholesale price to get it sold fast. You can sell houses that aren't perfect. You can sell houses that need to be cleaned out. I mean, we just looked at this up in the North Metro here. We had a property that was – they just don't have the ability to do this. And so we're like, hey, it's sort of for sale, and this is part of the package. So, there are buyers out there that will come in, and you have to be fair on your price. But, I mean, wouldn't you agree, Jeff?
Absolutely, I agree. And there's services and companies out there that can assist with, prepping that home, a little paint, a little bit of new floor covering or whatever it is, and updating a few things. And, but I definitely think, the vast majority of sellers in our caller today who's inquiring would be, I think.
So you think they can stretch that, and actually get that to where you buy a buyer? And anyway, I think that people sometimes feel like they're stuck. And I just want to, I think you're bringing up some great points, Jeff, is that you don't have to feel stuck. You can interview different agents. Look for the agent that's worked with one of your friends or family before where you trust that individual and help
and
them
guide
you.
And put a plan in place.
Yeah, put a plan in place that makes sense for you. You don't have to hire a wholesaler. You don't have to do whatever. You can usually do fine. And I know a lot of the widowers where we have that situation where they feel like, well, this was my husband's business or this was his stuff or whatever. Sometimes it's okay to get a consultant in there, like a stager, and have them help you with that stuff and guide you on what to do with the, stuff. And
I'll tell you what, before we take a break, Lee in Brooklyn Park is on the horn with a question. Lee, what is your question for everybody?
So I've been looking at building a house. The decision is to do it now or wait a year. I live in Brooklyn Park where they're going to maybe build a new freeway. Well, they are. But the decision is they're not going to tell me until this December if they're going to take my house or not. I want to know how much it's going to cost me if I wait another year to build my home. And is the cost of my existing home going to increase so I don't have to pay that much to build a new home?
Well, what do you guys think?
Go ahead, Jeff. Why don't you answer that one?
Well, the unknown of whether they're going to buy your house or not. A couple things I would take into consideration. If money's cheap to borrow right now, the cost to build, how much is that going to factor in? Is that going to change going into, next, springtime or whenever that would be?
Mm-hmm.
I guess, do you have a destination or a lot in mind that you've secured?
I do. And I've talked to a couple of realtors. They're my friends. They're realistically telling me a house from a year from now is going to cost me $20,000 more, say, in a year from now than it would be today.
Lee, I agree. I hate to agree with them, but the track record we've had the last couple of years does show that new construction is going up anywhere from 4% to 8%, right with the existing houses. So in that perfect storm, if you're upgrading, it's going to cost you a lot more if you wait. If you just do the math on it. So if you're looking at a $400,000 or a $500,000 purchase and that's going up at that percentage, obviously it's growing twice as fast as your house that's worth $200,000 or $300,000, right? As it grows. Right. The other thing I'd highly recommend you do is when you're in an eminent domain situation, you hire an attorney that actually can represent you and some of your neighbors to take a look at. I've been in situations where it's been very friendly. The county comes in or the city will come in and they make you an offer, and then you realize a neighbor got a little bit more than you. And I'm saying protect yourself. So you're in an unusual situation. Hire the specialist, and I think you'll
absolutely protect yourself. And if you're considering building that home right now, how strong is that deal with the eminent domain?
If that
takes a year or two, and
check in hand is usually the best.
All right, everybody, hang on. We'll take this quick break. Be right back. If you have a real estate question, 651-989-9226. We'll grab some text messages when we come back as well. That number is 81807. Good morning. Welcome back to the Real Estate Show here on CCO. Andy is with, he's got some special guests, but Chris, to remind people who are looking for him, he's watching his son play American football in Copenhagen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Actually, kind of sounds cool.
In the meantime, yes, it is.
A fun T-shirt.
It's a great city. I tell you what, we've got texters. But before we get some of these, should we let our guests give some information about themselves?
Well, sure. You know, we had nice enough for Jeff Schultz to come in today from RE/MAX Advantage Plus. Jeff, people that are looking to get a hold of you out in the West Metro, how do we find you? How do we see your portfolio stuff?
They can reach us at 952-442-1040. And if it's specific to Waconia, they can find us at WaconiaExperts.com. WaconiaExperts.com.
Gotcha. Cool. And we also have Laura Falk with us. Laura, how do we get a hold of you with a first-time homebuyer questions or?
Yes. Call or text my direct line, 651-380-4755. And if you're interested in learning a little bit more about me, go to bit.ly/LauraFalkRE/MAX.
Nice. And then we've got Ben Smothers.
Local baseball star, too. We didn't.
Yeah, we did. Let's embarrass. I mean, in a good way. Tell us a little bit about Ben.
Well, Ben.
Not only is he handsome.
Yeah, lifelong resident of Waconia. He's active in the community. He plays for our local town team baseball, awesome ballpark. Just another tidbit about Waconia. It's fantastic. So he's an all around guy. He's active out there.
Yeah, thanks for that.
how do you follow that, right?
Thanks, guys.
But he knows the market well. He really knows the market well out there.
I've been active, like Jeff said, lifelong resident of the Waconia and Carver County area, so I feel like I got a pretty good grasp on that area out there. But yeah, if people want to reach me, my cell phone's 952-210-0505.
Awesome. Well, cool. All right,
All right, we have some text messages. We don't want to forget about those. How much does the fishing quality have on the pricing of Metro Lakes?
I'll jump in and grab that. Absolutely, it does. Waconia, we've got every species of fish. And, you know, when you typically, you know, talk to somebody about lakeshore, well, the first thing they do is they look at it every day, right? But if they want to use it, fishing is certainly one of those. And Waconia and the surrounding lakes, I mean, they offer several different species. So I think it's important, yeah, it definitely does.
So let me ask you a question. Clarity of water, does that make a difference for you guys?
Sure, absolutely.
Okay, so usually those, you know, you want somewhat, the swimmer and the boating people want it clean and clear, and then the fisher crowd kind of wants a little combo, because otherwise it gets really, you get up to Lake Selvia up there in Annandale, and you can see down like 30 feet into the water. Yeah, it's amazing.
Makes it a little challenging.
And it gets to the point of where you look at it and they can't catch fish because the fish are literally watching them come across the lake in the boat, you know? Yeah. So it's interesting. So let me ask you, do you guys have any challenges with zebra mussels?
We do. We do.
How has that been affecting it?
Well, the clarity of the water is increased. Uh-huh. Okay. Certainly it can pose challenges when you're, you know, they cling to just about every surface there is. So at the end of the year when you pull that boat out, it's certainly some extra work. But
have you seen it affect property values?
No, we have not. Not
I was
going to
say the same thing. No. Even Alex, we've got guys in Brainerd, Cross Lake, Alex that are in our network of guys and gals, and they literally have all said it has not had any effect yet.
I mean, when the milfoil craze, you know, happened, what it was at 25 years ago, people were, you know, up in a flurry about that, you know, Eurasian water milfoil, and now you rarely hear that's talked about, and it's, you know, common in so many of our lakes.
Mm-hmm. Here's another one for you guys. Do sellers ever have a pre-check / assessor come before putting the house on the market so things can be fixed beforehand?
What do you think, Laura?
Some people choose to do a home inspection before they list. I know some realtors do talk about that as an option just so that they understand. Maybe let's take care of a few of these things, you know, prior to putting it on the market so that we don't have to have, you know, lengthy conversations come a buyer inspection, you know, after that purchase agreement. So just having some of those items, you know, completed so that there's less surprises.
And I think it depends on age of home or what you're looking at there. You know, generally we see that a pre-home inspection on something that's maybe a little bit older or might have some of those concerns we talked about earlier.
Right.
Furnace, roof.
What do you think, Ben?
Well, one thing with that question, I noticed you said assessor, and I hear a lot of people get assessor and appraiser confused and mixed up a lot. So the assessor works for the county. The appraiser is typically hired by the mortgage lender to appraise the property to make sure it's a good investment for the bank at the same time.
Sure, sure. Yeah,
good point. Good point. Mm-hmm.
Let's grab a phone call before we run out of time. Pat's calling from Austin. Pat, what's your question?
Well, my question is, I have a higher-end house to sell. And would it be wise to sell it furnished, or would it be wise to sell it on contract for deed so a younger person can purchase it?
Do you real quick, Pat? The house, is it on a recreational lake, or is it in a like an activity based area?
It butts up to a river.
Okay, so somebody might be buying it as a second home or as a pot.
It probably be a primary home.
Okay. Primary home. Okay.
Yeah, it's over 5,000 feet on each level.
Oh, okay.
My goodness. Go ahead, Jeff.
I would really jump in and say, if you can, offer the home for sale, staged, furnished, definitely to your advantage.
Yep.
I'd still encourage you to use the services of a staging consultant to come over and let you know what to keep around and, how to display that room.
That's probably really smart.
Yeah, I would lean that way. And then, if you're willing and able to sell it on a contract for deed, I just think it opens up that many more doors for buyers.
Well, I was going
to
say that it really is two separate, completely separate items. I mean, when you sell a house furnished, obviously you're going to be giving some of your furniture away at that point. I mean, so if you have some of the really, the stickney couches and the whatevers that are out there, really expensive stuff, and then you go to sell it, a staging, they appreciate it, but buying it, it's usually pennies on the dollar. So unless you don't have a place to sell it, you might be better off having an estate sale with that furniture in there after you get an offer on the house so you can raise some more capital.
Yes.
I'd say as a reseller with a contract for deed, the challenge that you're going to have is getting someone to give you enough of a deposit to satisfy you and then to sit in a mortgage position on that property. And usually they mature in 2 to 3 to, whatever, maybe up as many as 5 years. But you still have to find a healthy enough of a buyer that when that house doesn't appraise, so let's say it's $1.5 million, I have no idea, I'm making that number up, and there's nothing in the area that supports it, you're going to have to find a buyer healthy enough to cover that or get a local bank convinced that it's a good investment.
All right, we have exactly 60 seconds to go. How about a real quick answer before we head out of here? House in Brooklyn Park for sale, not mine, Texas says. Saw on Zillow, major fire damage, unlivable. Would people be wise in buying it and rebuilding?
Sure. I'd take a look at it.
Yeah, that's right in your area, Andy.
Yeah, it's right in my wheelhouse. I wouldn't be afraid of it, but I definitely would want to go in and do an inspection on that, bring the professionals in and make a true assessment. Are you really buying a lot or are you buying an asset that can be rebuilt?
Yeah.
All right. Thank you, Laura, Ben, Jeff. Thanks for coming
glad
in
to be
today.
Here, Danny.
Thanks for
Andy.
Having us.
Next the holiday weekend, next weekend, right?
Yeah.
Already?
We'll still be here.
Yeah. You'll be here.
Let's try to see you out in Waconia this summer, Danny.
All right. Yes, I'll be there. I'm looking for those good restaurants, first of all. But in the meantime, we'll see you next week, 1 week from today. Chris will be back.
We'll have him back with some good stories, I hope.
Excellent.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.